A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. Today is the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and we're at the apex of activity regarding the season of creation. We have a number of wonderful interviews that we're going to get to, but beforehand, I want to remind you that the short documentary we produced about biodiversity events around the diocese has gone live on our YouTube channel, so be sure to check that out. Up first, Jane O'Sullivan, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So, Jane, you're one of the main facilitators with the SNEAM Tidy Towns.
Yes, we are a working group and we just work under SNEAM Development Co-op. We have sort of committee about five people who plan the Tidy Towns work and apply for funding and develop new projects. And our main focus the last number of years has been on biodiversity. So in 2018, we entered for the All-Ireland Pollinator Special Award. That's one of the many awards that happen when you're filling in your Tidy Towns entry form. They have all these special awards, and we just decided we'd put in an entry in 2018, and to our surprise and delight, we won the South and Midwest Regional Award.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that set us on the path of biodiversity and implementing the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan in SNEAM. So they have community actions for pollinators. There's a lot of guidance from the National Biodiversity Data Centre, who brought out the Pollinator Plan. We started working on that, and once you kind of get interested in that sort of thing, it kind of grows. We won again in 2019 and in 2023, and then last year we were absolutely thrilled to win the overall award, the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan Award. That was kind of the highlight so far.
That's amazing. Can you give me an idea of what sort of things come in the plan? Like if any other towns out there are looking to try and take your crown or give you a fair fight for it, what should they be looking to do?
Yeah, well, there's great guidance. So they've guides for everything. So we kind of started with the community actions for groups. And I suppose as well, going back, we were lucky in that in 2014, we were kind of ahead of the curve in that we got a biodiversity action plan done for SNEAM. And so it started the ball rolling. In one of the main actions you can take is to reduce mowing. So in SNEAM, we have two river walks, one each side of the river, and they would have been mowed. There's quite an extensive grassy area, particularly on the north side of the river. So they stopped mowing those and just mow a path, kind of more width at the side of the paths. And then once a year in September, then you'd mow the long grass. So this allows all the insects that depend on somewhere to shelter, habitat and food to eat. It allows them to have their life cycle, and things like orchids pop up. Lots of native wildflowers that are already in the soil. The seed bank is there, but they're just given a chance to do their thing and to sort of fulfill their role and attract insects and, as I say, provide shelter and habitat and food for them.
I was wondering, Jane, are orchids native to Ireland, or are they sort of an imported flower?
No, there's lots of native orchids. I was just a trip up to the Burren, which is full of beautiful orchids. But we get in the kind of damper soil down here, we get these purple marsh orchids. And yeah, they just pop up. They're there all along. It's just we haven't given them a chance by mowing our grass too much. As we've gone along the last couple of years, we've got involved in No Mow May and for the first time stopped mowing some of the spaces. We have sort of two grass patches in the Garden of the Senses that would get mowed regularly, and we stopped mowing for May, and an orchid popped up for the first time last year and then came up again this year. So it's amazing what happens when you just leave it be and let nature do its thing.
Wow. Is it difficult to get buy-in from people who feel like all grasses should look like a perfectly pristine golf course, to leave it to get messy?
Yes, that's kind of the name Tidy Towns is kind of against us in a way. Yeah, we have to get past this idea that lawns and neatness is the way to go, because we are in a biodiversity crisis. And you might say, oh, but look at all the farms and everything, but they're being sprayed and mowed. The amount of drop in insects, it's shocking. Like 80% drops in various populations and butterflies and bumblebees. And it's because we're not giving them a chance. Actions that we need to do is stop spraying herbicides, pesticides. Like, nature will take care of itself if it's left. So if you have aphids, ladybirds will come along and eat them, and nature knows best. We've just had this industrialized type of farming put on us, and it's not the farmer's fault. They've been told to do all these actions, and they get penalized, or they have been penalized in the past for having hedgerows and scrub. But now we're beginning to realize that they're essential for insects, and the insects that pollinate our fruit and our veg, and that do so much good. We've just been giving them no space. So that's what we're trying to do, is bring back space for them to thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose the actions that we take as part of the pollinator plan is reduce mowing. You don't have to stop mowing altogether. You can mow little paths through. You can have long wild areas, and then you can have shorter areas that you maybe mow every few weeks, and then other areas just once a year, or leave. Nettles, for instance, are so important to some of our native butterflies as food plants, and they lay their eggs on nettles and they eat the nettles. So without nettles, we wouldn't have the peacock and the small tortoiseshell butterflies. And I know I've noticed this year and last year that there's hardly any butterflies. So we have to stop spraying, reduce mowing, and just leave space for nature and get used to the untidiness. And it becomes beautiful once you see a long flowered meadow and it's full of life. You can't go back to that sterile green lawn. Once you start seeing it a certain way, you can't go back.
It can be very tricky. I know someone who keeps pet stick insects. The thing that they're fed is the leaves off of bramble bushes. This person I know goes out and tries to cut brambles to put in the terrarium for the stick insects. But the issue they have is that overwhelmingly, the bramble bushes are either like completely cut back to the point they can't take anything, or sprayed with insecticide, which obviously they can't feed to the pets. So they were struggling for quite a bit to find a place where there was brambles that were just cut back a little bit, but not sprayed and not like destroyed. And I found a place for them. And I won't even say it on the radio in case someone realizes that there's a set of brambles that aren't being treated. But it was hard to find.
Well, you should come down to my house. But brambles are absolutely fabulous for wildlife. They really are. And it's all the stuff that we were taught to hate, like the willows, you know, that scrub, get rid of that scrub. But willow is one of the most important plants, trees, for like the early emerging bumblebees, when the willow has its catkins, and that's food for the early bumblebees. And the same with dandelions, like when the bees come out of hibernation, they need something to eat. And a lawn full of yellow dandelions is beautiful, and it's food for the bees. And I don't know why we were just taught to hate dandelions and nettles and brambles and willow, because it's all so vital for wildlife.
Yeah. Jane O'Sullivan, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thank you so much, David. Good to speak to you. Salaam.
Salaam. This is Bridge Over Troubled Waters by Andrea Bocelli and Mary J. Blige.
Se hai paura, piangerai, e dentro gli occhi tuoi la nebbia vedrai. Io correrò e li asciugherò. Il sole
out, when you're on the streets, when need land falls, when it falls so hard, I will comfort you.
After the break, we talk about musical workshops.